5208 Media. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's me, one of your hosts, Phoenix Zarola.
Phoenix currently has a gun to his head, I guess.
And this is Film Practice.
Are you okay, Phoenix?
I'm fine. What are you talking about?
This is making me so anxious.
It's Robbie. Robbie's another host. Carter is also another host.
Hey, it's me.
And our final
Wait,
host.
Are we doing our Halloween names?
No.
Oh, man, I forgot.
Oh, wait,
them.
Hold up. Oh, no, I don't have them.
Okay.
No. Do you remember them?
I'll hand out new ones.
It was Robbie. Oh, yeah, just put it
I was Skeletons.
Skeletons or Bones?
No,
right?
it was Robbie's Skeletons
yes,
to Shazer.
Skeletons to Shazer.
The Ghost of River Phoenix Zarola.
Yeah.
Your name this week is going to be Craven.
Craven?
Yeah, named after Wes Craven.
Just call
master.
Him Craven?
Yeah.
One name?
Yeah, he's not Robbie Craven. He's just Craven.
Craven. I love it.
Okay.
I can dig it.
I'm craving some good discussion about movies.
Wow.
That's what.
Carter, your name will be...
Fred, after Fred from Scooby-Doo.
Fred with the backwards E, right?
No.
Fred the movie? That's also scary, so we'll go with it.
There you go.
YouTube's own Fred.
Yeah, YouTube's Fred.
Lucas Cruikshanks, the kid who played Fred, is here.
That's his name?
Yeah.
He's named after the cat from Harry Potter?
His last name? I don't know. I did a deep dive on Fred a couple nights ago when
wow.
I couldn't sleep.
I'm having a time.
Yeah.
And then Shannon's here, too. And
and you can
me.
Be...
and you can be...
You can be the Vivitch.
All right.
Hey guys, it's me, Shannon, the Vivitch.
Yeah.
And then Phoenix Stein's monster over here.
Yeah, I'll take it.
He's not Phoenix Stein. He's
I'm gonna
Phoenix
call him,
Stein's monster.
I'm gonna call him Showtime's Penny Dreadful.
Okay. I love that actually. Can I be Vanessa Ives?
So he's just Showtime's Penny Dreadful.
Great show, by the way.
It is a good show.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back to Film Fracas.
I'm
Should
glad
I
we
introduce
spend...
the topic right now, or do you want to keep
I'm
going?
Glad we spend about 2 minutes at the top of the show doing this every week.
It's called banter.
Is
I
it?
Also forget every time that we need to do the name.
Brett was so much better at coming up with the nicknames.
It's called banter. Who?
Who?
Who is he? I don't know him.
Anyway.
We spoke fondly of Phoenix in the past tense.
No,
when
I
Brett...
love Brett.
Does he still listen?
Brett Johnson.
We'll see if he still
Brett,
listens.
The
we'll
Rock
test him right
Johnson.
Now. Brett. I'm going to text you a security code. The answer is 17. And if I don't hear back this number, then I know you didn't listen.
In the episode? Or is this gonna have to? Or are you going to have to tell
It'll
us?
It'll release. I'll give him a week, and I'll ask him what's the security code. And if he tells me 17, then I'll know he listened.
Okay, that makes sense. So next week we'll have an answer for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end of the episode, remind Brett one more time.
17. But I'll remind it at the
beginning. Yeah, okay, thank you.
All right.
That's the end of the episode. I just cut off.
Bye, everyone.
Cool.
So our topic today.
Well, last week.
Film. Last week. Yes, I forgot.
Last week.
Last week.
We had best kills.
Best kills,
which I looked and I was like, this seems like we could have come up with a less macabre name, but I suppose that works.
No,
it gets to the point.
Yeah,
it does.
Kills.
Straight to the point.
No one took the time to ask me to tell
Deaths,
me they had a better name.
No, I know. I was just thinking about it after the fact.
If you don't want macabre, then you should not watch a Halloween movie.
You know, you're right. We said goodbye
to The Exorcist.
The Exorcist.
Which house of death did they get? Did they get pillowed or mattress?
They got like smothered by mattresses.
Smothered by a mattress.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which was sad because it's a great movie. But them's the breaks. And now we have to move on and push through with our new topic today. Scariest.
Ooh.
What's a Halloween movie or horror movie without some scare?
Yeah.
I can think of some things.
One of these inspire the most fear. Now, we're all afraid of different things.
Yeah, we don't like
I'm
to
afraid
live.
Of
so
Phoenix.
It stands to reason. Oh, right? Yeah. That's why we have a large barrier blocking the two
well,
of you.
Well, as we discussed on other episodes,
if you make direct
we all
eye
record
contact,
separately.
Oh, yeah.
That's
true.
That's it.
That's right.
Just sing from different
Well,
rooms.
You and I happen to be in the same coffee shop today.
Yeah, that is the fun thing.
Real quick, let's do what's a fear of ours, Shannon?
The Thriller music video from Michael Jackson was
She's gonna
was
mention
a
that
huge
every
fear.
Week.
Every time. It's okay. Other biggest topical fear, though, I'm not really a fan of snakes.
Snakes.
It's overdone, but
I love snakes.
No. Not so
Carter?
Much of snakes.
Citrus.
You fear citrus?
No.
Oh, are you okay?
I don't really fear anything.
That's not true.
That's something stuff. Scares you.
You fear
I get
things.
Vertigo sometimes, but it's not because of fear of heights. It just makes me woozy. Is that close?
It's internalized. That's like bodily fear.
I feel like you have some inner demons you need to address.
Maybe.
Yeah. People have fears.
People have.
My fears are like not getting a job.
Yeah, my fears are
very real. Is that, does that count?
I mean, I guess so.
It's pretty scary.
Making, doing nothing with my life?
Yeah.
Being a failure?
Yeah.
Does that all count?
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah, it's more
that's
just like worries.
My genuine fears.
Yeah. Have you seen a movie that makes you not, like...
Like, there are definitely movies that scared me, but it's just because they made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But not because I was like, ooh, I'm afraid of this.
Have you ever seen a movie and you're like, man, it made me scared not to get a job?
Theoretically, no. But the well, actually, maybe. I have to think about it.
Robbie?
I don't like big bugs. Like, I don't get near them.
What about like a cockroach?
I can't do it. I don't.
Oh, damn.
Fucking hate them.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
They're going to inherit the earth, actually.
I've taken
what?
To carrying around a bottle of, like, bug killer with me. So, like, if there's one in the house, I have them, yeah, just, like, in various places in the house.
Yeah.
So
it's weird that he keeps it in the shower with him.
Yeah, I mean...
One time you used it to shampoo.
It also works as a body wash.
Inspired a hospital visit.
Oh, yeah.
When you used it as shampoo.
I mean, I got my eyes.
Yeah. And your mouth.
Well, that was fun.
All the roaches. Open mouth.
All the roaches in my mouth. Yes, I also open... I used to shower with an open mouth.
Wide open.
Wide open with my head facing the shower head.
Soapy water.
So as to get the maximum amount of water into my mouth while I shower.
Shit. That is
a
painful image. I don't like
it. Hold up, Phoenix. This week's a double elimination.
Would you say it inspires fear?
I didn't know how to organically
work that. What are you afraid of, Phoenix?
You worked it in enough. Oh, yeah. I have thalassophobia. It's fear of the ocean. Very scary.
That's fair.
Yeah.
The ocean's
scary. I don't like being in water, period.
I honestly...
Water that's unknown.
I've been watching a lot of space movies, and it's making me more and more anxious about, like, outer space, which I always wanted to be an astronaut. But after watching Gravity... And some other movies, I'm like, maybe I don't want to live in space.
See, I grew up in Houston, Texas, so we had some NASA stuff near us because of...
Also like the Challenger? No, it's bad news.
But no, there was an IMAX film at Space Center Houston, which is the like open to the public part of the Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas, in Clear Lake. And they have an IMAX theater there, and they showed a movie about astronauts going up to space... And how they'd come back and, like, their legs would be, like, atrophied and their, like, and their bones would have shrunk. And I saw this at, like, age 5 and very quickly decided I did not want to be an astronaut anymore.
That makes
like,
sense.
Left the theater, like, in tears, like, just really freaked out.
Yeah. Some like, what is it, planetariums can just get really scary just because it's just, like, shooting through space and you're just
like the scale of things.
Yeah. And in space nobody can hear you scream, so
it's
true.
You're right.
Even if you're scared, no one will hear
a movie.
No one's
that should be that. I was gonna act like it wasn't a movie. I was like, that's a tagline for something.
I ruined your
come
bit.
Up.
Speaking of taglines, it's a double
elimination.
And what does that mean, Robbie?
That means two movies go home this week.
Instead of one.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you want an analogy or something? You looked real disappointed.
We can't record that fine. Many episodes.
Yeah.
Well, we can. We would just go into November, and it would be weird. Yeah.
It'd be like, why are we releasing this before Halloween? Yeah.
We're releasing our final episode the day after Halloween.
Shut up, Robbie. Shut up.
They can look at a calendar.
Shut up.
People can...
You don't know
people
that.
Are listening to this
away.
On devices that have calendars on
well,
them already.
We could theoretically release this on Halloween a day early. It wouldn't be the end of the world.
It wouldn't. But then I don't have as much time to edit.
It's true.
So it just depends on when we record.
We'll see.
All right, we've had a lot of banter. So
we've
I
had
think
about
the,
nine
think
minutes
the,
and the, 20 seconds of banter.
The category is pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
That's
why I think we've
what
just
we
been,
each think is
been dicking around.
We got some spook and some scares.
Yeah, what gives
some...
us the fears? It's kind of this is maybe the more subjective one.
It is. That's why I think we'll have some differing rankings
because it's hard to even quantify fear.
I got it.
Let alone
and nobody loses any jobs in any of these but, movies.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. There's no snakes.
There's really gonna be.
Are there oceans?
There's
a pool of water.
No.
In one.
Oceans of blood, but not really an ocean-contained pool of.
There aren't any atrophying astronauts in any of them.
Are there cockroaches?
There's not a cock. There's some bugs, though.
Yeah, imagine there's some bugs.
Some bugs.
Yeah, there are some of those.
Anyway,
let's start with...
Number one.
Yeah.
Number one.
Who's starting? I can start.
Carter, go ahead.
Okay.
Hit us up.
My number one scariest film on this list, not scariest film ever, but scariest film on the list, is Ari Aster's Hereditary. This was a movie that I watched, and I was going to watch it, and I was like, you know, everyone's saying this movie is really scary, but we'll see. We'll see if it's really
scary. Three quarters of this podcast saw it together.
Yeah. We're like, whatever. And then we saw the movie.
Oh, I did not watch most of it.
And got out, and I was like, I need a hug, and I need some artificial light, and I need to know that all the good things in the world are still
out
there.
Was that the night that we stayed up very late watching like Drake and Josh and Community on Hulu? Yeah,
just to feel better.
Just to feel better.
Damn it, I was going to do Drake and Josh as my my recommendation this week.
It's fine. But yeah, Hereditary, it's to me the thing that bothers me. It bothers me on another level from like other horror movies and Halloween movies. And we talked about this a little bit, I think, last week, the week before. But the fears in Hereditary are very real. So it's like anaphylactic shock and allergic reactions, a very real thing people can be afraid of, like a mother losing a child or a family losing a child or a brother losing a sister.
Yeah, losing a sibling while you're in charge of them is like a very...
Like that kind of thing of like, the sibling not being able to take care of you know, their little sibling kind of thing. Driving while intoxicated, another fear. And then on top of that, like demon murder cults. Also... Yeah. Kind of scary. Yeah.
And, believe it or not.
Yeah. And it's like families falling apart is also a fear. So there's just a lot of things that it's like, this just makes me uncomfortable. Yeah. And it just really upsets me to watch.
What I really, I have this as my number one as well.
Yeah.
What I love about it is these very visceral, very real fears that are sometimes just even hard to put into words create a tension that goes throughout the entire movie that does not... This is not a jump scare heavy movie at all, which...
That almost makes it worse.
Yeah, so...
There's no release. You
know, it's funny that it came out the same summer as Nanette when we're talking about tension just building and not having a release for it. I'm serious about this, though. Like, there's not, like... Just the idea... Because I got... I think they pair really well, which is weird to say, but, like... The idea of just there is no release for this tension. It is bleak. You're going to like feel walking out of that theater. I felt like I had been underwater for like 2 hours and was just breathing for the first time. Yeah, it fucked me up. I watched it for the second time before this, and it still fucks me up. I don't.
Yeah, it's also my number one as well. I'll say right now that my theory is that all of us have a very clear top three and a very clear bottom three with these movies. But I'll start with Hereditary. It also fucked me up. It was insane. And I remember that night seeing it and just like, I think maybe halfway through the movie, I've never felt like I wanted a movie to end, not because I hated it, but because I just wanted it to be over. Like I didn't want to feel this scared and this like trapped. I didn't want to leave because it was so good, but I also wanted to leave because I didn't want to like keep watching. It was
not unlike Midsommar, another movie where you're like, this is just unpleasant.
Yes, not like unlike a sequel.
I also think it's funny, we saw it in a theater that we don't normally go to, in kind of an area of town that is very dark after the sun sets.
Yeah,
I was like, I just feel not in a good like safe place right now, even though you know. There's like an Indian restaurant there that I would go to at any time of day. Like, it's a perfectly fine part of town, but I just like didn't feel safe.
Yeah, there just were fewer lights, and like it was physically darker.
I also I also lived alone back when we saw it. And I was like, I don't want to go back home by myself.
So you just stayed here.
God. I was like, I don't want to go home by myself. I'm gonna be scared.
That's what happens. I mean, you know.
And then we left Phoenix alone downstairs.
The demon cults generally
come
and get you when you're by yourself.
100%. And a lot of those scenes in that movie are like them sleeping in their beds.
The dryer went off, and Robbie almost fell down the stairs.
Oh, that was good. The dryer signal thing went off, and I was coming downstairs and nearly died, which would have been a fitting way to end a night of seeing Hereditary.
Yeah, this movie is like it's cruel. It's truly just like brutal and twisting and just yeah. gets under your skin and it doesn't leave and it feels like the movie's... It can sometimes feel like the movie's like 10 hours because you just want it to finish.
Yeah.
Even on rewatchings, I find it still pretty frightening. Not as bad as before, but I still get weird talking about it.
I just found it to be... Like, on rewatch, I really wasn't scared pretty much the whole movie because I think I just knew what to anticipate and could, like, prepare myself for it. But it is still remarkably unpleasant.
Yeah. And it's still one that I, even though I saw it for the second time alone, don't like watching that alone
at
all.
I also made sure to watch it in broad daylight when I watched it a second time, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a dog at home who definitely jumped at me at one very tense point, and I... screamed at him, not like mad, but just turned my head and was fear. Like, ah! And dog didn't like it. Dog didn't right, like Shannon, it.
What's your number one?
My number one also happens to be Hereditary, okay. So oh, we make oh, this oh, nice oh, and easy. Oh, one, I mean, two, nothing three, here that hasn't four. Like already been said. It's a incredibly unpleasant film to watch that just really. I don't know. It completely upsets any and all like good, nice mental health, and that I don't know if that's necessarily the intent, but it's quite an achievement on Ari Aster's part to be able to make something so profoundly uncomfortable to be a part of. You know, you think about the movie experience as something you generally want to ingratiate yourself within, and you know. Co-opting that space into something that's so terrifying, but at the same time, you know, so well made, is really quite the achievement. But no, I mean, for me, it's really just the bodily corporeal horror, the fire lighting, the severing of heads with the piano wire. I don't know what it is with heads, but
pianos.
and pianos. But I mean, you know, it's just something that makes you literally want to vomit every time you watch. But, you know, that's horror, ladies and gentlemen, and all peoples out there. So, yeah, I had it as my number one. Number two I had is Suspiria. Not mainly going off of because the first time I watched Suspiria, it's the coven nature. And my criteria for horror... this time was shock, gore, believability, and like the degree of disturbingness over how long a time. And what really won Suspiria points was that over the amount of time. It's a building kind of dread that I found. And not so much the second time because it's so highly stylized, but I'm going to give the first time I saw it, it was, you know, completely dark. It was real late at night, no lights on. And it really built the environment for me that fostered that kind of fear. I'm like, you know, talking about the blood, talking about an animal turning on you and like literally eating somebody, not in broad daylight, but with all of this, you know, space and vulnerability around you, the wire, once again, something about wire, but seeing it all like within one room, just really, the movie gets me every time, and I like it, and I enjoy watching it, which is a little bit different than, you know, the kind of fear that's cultivated in something like Hereditary, where it's like, nope, I don't ever need to see it again. Suspiria, different movie.
Very different.
Very different movie. It's something that I would subject myself to multiple times, but I'm interested to see where everybody else is on here.
I totally get where you're coming from, because I had Suspiria number three. That was mainly because... So there's another movie. My number two is Halloween.
Oh, okay. Not too far off.
Which to me, they're kind of similar. They're both, to me, like, creepy. I think Halloween, I get a little more kind of genuine fear just in kind of the menace of Michael Myers, I think, kind of scares me inherently a little bit more than anything in Suspiria. But they both kind of have definitely have creepy vibes. And, like, Suspiria's creepy vibes to the max with, like, just weird noises and, like, strange goings-ons and, you know, kind of terrifying things, like, either the opening or, like... Sometimes, I mean, it can look kind of campy now, but if you're in the right mindset, you're like, ooh, this is kind of upsetting. But, yeah, so it was really my number three in that it was, like, a very kind of strong, still really kind of giving me creepy vibes... Whereas the rest of the films don't really give me creepy vibes. But Suspiria definitely still did. And then, yeah. But Halloween, my number two, like I said, just kind of the inherent fear of Michael Myers kind of looming And there's some genuinely creepy moments of like just him watching. And I think it has to do with also part of the camera work of just lingering on Michael Myers, like long past Laurie Strode or long past anything else. It's like he's just always there. And the fact that he's such a force of nature is kind of scary, I think. So Halloween's my number two.
I am going to throw a third contender into the number two race. So I actually put Evil Dead here. And I know it's campy. And I have both of these films, both Suspiria and Halloween, are not at the bottom of my list, but they're lower than this. Not for any particular reason other than the fact that I think that Evil Dead does jump scares the best out of our remaining films. I think the creature design goes really well into this. I think the voice acting with the deadite voices and stuff adds an element of horror to it that is very good. I think, you know, a whole scene of tree rape is terrifying, you know, to a degree. I think that this does, while it seems, I think it is campy, and I think it's campy because it is a lower budget, but I think that, like Suspiria also shows, budget doesn't necessarily mean that it's not going to end up scary. As actually all three of these pretty much do, is that...
None of them are super
high budget. It's what you do with that money.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, I don't think any of these movies on the list are particularly high budget anymore.
Probably Hereditary, probably the biggest. That's just because it's a modern feature.
It's a modern feature, but it's probably even pretty small for...
Yeah, it's probably mid-range.
Compared to, it has probably a bigger budget for an A24 film, but...
Yeah.
But anyway, to get into that, to get away from that and get into some of our Evil Dead stuff... I think there's just some really, once again with like Hereditary, there are some, really disturbing things to think about when in terms of Evil Dead. I think that the idea of, having to be the lone survivor amongst your friends, and even at the end, like, Ash doesn't fully get out, at least, the way that we're led to believe from how this movie ends, as opposed to what's picked up in the rest of the trilogy and then the eventual series. But yeah, it's got by the end, Ash does feel pretty isolated, and isolation, I think, is a very big deal in horror. It's the same reason why Halloween gets particularly scary towards the end.
And Hereditary.
Yeah.
More people keep dying off.
Yeah, exactly. And so I really like it. I think that, like I said, some of the reasons that we said that The Evil Dead had some great monsters, I think are some of the same reasons why this movie is particularly scary. Other than that, I think that Halloween's pretty good. So I have Halloween at 3 and Suspiria at 4. And this was probably... this middle section here was probably my most fluid, but this was how I was feeling when I wrote them down. So I agree with a lot of your points. Mm-hmm. This is just kind of a personal taste thing. So, Phoenix?
Yeah, I guess I'll side with one person because I had Halloween with my second. I kind of agreed with Carter that, like, I just find... his character to be menacing, and the way they go about like showing his character and his movement and how they frame it, the distance they have it, the focal points they have it. I think a lot of like the beginning of Halloween is scarier than the ending, really, because the beginning is just him like stalking and just being like when being Laurie Strode looks out into the classroom and just sees a head and a
walking,
car.
Walking and he's behind the hedge.
Yes. And when he's behind the hedge or when he's in what, the laundry or whatever it's called, the string.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's just behind the blankets and stuff. Just all of that just feels very frightening. Like it's just like a classic fear of just being watched. And I think that is like really triggering for me because
somebody's like the boogeyman basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a lot of things. He's like the boogeyman. He's like the devil. He's like some kind of real fear of like a person stalking you or a genuine killer. It draws a lot of things that just frighten me a lot. And even just and I think his character also makes it even more frightening because of how still he is and how unemotional he is that I draw a lot of fear of. And it's definitely one that I think that's why, or it's definitely one that scares me more than it does entertain me, even though I do really love that movie. Yeah. I was with Robbie. I had Evil Dead next, just because while it is pretty campy, I agree with a lot of the points you made about the deadite voices. The gore is really frightening. I think that just the land and the setting is also really scary. Like, I get very claustrophobic at times being in such a small space in the house or in the basement. And it gets to feel very no end in sight, kind of, that there's just no hope, no way of getting out of it. That I kind of raise it above the other movies listed just because I can draw more fear from those emotions or those little bits of like those, they're more tangible to me when I'm watching.
Well, because of the nature of a double elimination and only having six films left, I think the second half's going to be pretty quick unless we take a break right about now. Thanks for listening to this episode of Film Fracas. Before we get back into the action, I just wanted to tell you about a show we have here on the 52.8 Media Network called Tap Heads. That's right, Tap Heads is a show hosted by yours truly, Robbie DeShazer, along with Carter Spilliards from Film Fracas and our good friend Wendy Lopez. We get together every other week and we drink a whole bunch of beers and talk about what we like about them, what we don't like about them, what we're learning about beers. There's just so much fun to be had. We've tried a whole bunch of different breweries, a whole bunch of different types of styles of beers. We're just having a lot of fun doing this, and I think that you guys should go check it out. So right after you listen to the second half of this episode, head on over to anchor.fm/tapheads and go listen to our most recent episode. We had a lot of fun making it, and we hope you guys have a lot of fun listening to it. All right, get back to the action.
We're back.
Welcome back to Film Fracas.
That break did feel longer. That break was longer than we anticipated.
We took forever.
Just a bit.
Oh man, we took so long.
It'd be like that sometimes.
Anywho,
it took so long, and this is probably gonna end up being so short because now we're tired.
Yeah, where we're at though is
so we had decided that Hereditary was number one
and Halloween is number two
by default.
Yes. So number three, it's difficult because
I had The Evil Dead at number two and Suspiria at number four and Halloween at number three.
I have Suspiria at number three and Evil Dead at number four.
And I have Evil Dead at number three and Suspiria at number four.
And Shannon has
Suspiria at number two and The Evil Dead at four.
I think these are all exact opposites.
Which is a locked tie.
It almost is like they tie for third.
But let's not do that.
Yeah.
In terms of, because then the other two movies are just out, so let's not figure this out.
All right, how about this?
Let's fracas. That's what this...
Exactly.
Don't talk about rules, don't talk about numbers.
Let's fracas wait. Out.
So number three, let's just... someone flip a coin or something, and we'll see which movie we talk about. Heads for Suspiria, tails for...
I mean, we already kind of talked about Suspiria. Y'all didn't know.
No. We talked a lot about Evil Dead. We can just...
Well, we talked a lot about Evil Dead. They didn't talk about Evil Dead at all. They talked a lot about Suspiria. We didn't talk about Suspiria.
Yeah, y'all talk about Suspiria.
All right,
and
it's
then
tails.
We'll talk about Evil Dead.
It's tails? What did I say?
Anyway.
All right.
For Suspiria.
I think we figured it out. We're going to each talk about the movies we haven't talked about yet.
All right. So I put Suspiria at number four, and I love Suspiria a lot. However, it does, even though at times I feel like it certainly goes for a horror vibe or sort of like horror ideas, it doesn't really hold up the entire movie, for me at least. I think the first scene is incredible, and I think it probably is probably at its peak for me in terms of how scary and it gives me, I guess, because the kill and the way it's being hunted out and then like all the close-ups of the stabbing and through the skyscraper and all that, that's pretty terrifying on its own. But then after that, you know, when it gets into more of the dance hall and then the kills seem to get a little bit more, I guess, for like a little bit more campier and then not as terrifying, I think it gets a little
They definitely
bit,
have a B-horror feel to it.
Yeah, it does. It's not that it's not scary, but it's definitely not as scary as the ones that I had it had above it. So I just had to like bring it down a little for that. But I recognize that it does keep a horror vibe or horror tone throughout. I think it kind of fluctuates between how much it does, how well it does in that aspect, or how much it slides into B-horror. But, you know.
Yeah. This movie, Suspiria, for me, at least has much more of a mystery thriller vibe to me than it does a horror vibe. I think the murder at the beginning is very cool and stylized and definitely deserved its place where we put it on best kills. But it's not necessarily terrifying or horrifying in any way to me. It does have, yeah, like I said, it has that campy feel. Also, I talked a little bit about the design of the Deadites really influencing how scary Evil Dead was. I think that there's some of the horror elements in design in this movie. While they're cool, they're maybe not featured as heavily, specifically like Mother Suspiriorum. Like, she, you know, she looks very scary, and it's kind of cool to, you don't do the lightning, like, outline, and her voice acting is very impressive. But for the most part, it isn't utilized to an extent that something like the Deadites are in Evil Dead. Other things that, like, just aren't as fear-inspiring, I guess, and there's some elements that maybe it is getting handicapped by what it is, but, like, it does take me out of the film to, like, see the dubbing and the fact that everyone on the film was speaking in their native languages, and it was just going to be dubbed over later, depending on, you know, whoever was speaking. So if they were speaking English, they just dubbed over their own lines, but someone else did somebody, you know, someone who's clearly speaking Italian's lines. And so there's just some elements of the film that budget does come into effect for me, and that it does take me out of the world.
And I think I agree with your first point that it does feel almost more of like a mystery detective movie to me. Because a lot of it is trying to figure out what's going on at the dance hall rather mm-hmm. than it just being straight up scary or horror in like maybe horror as like a sub beat or like a sub section of it. But definitely not the main thing, which is the mystery behind it. And I never feel that way with The Evil Dead. I always feel like I'm in a horror state, even if it does get a little like campier with the Deadites or, you know, the survivors are playing jokes or something. It still feels like
well, because
scary
even
on
those
top.
Campier elements do feel like mind games, like the you know
that the Deadites are going.
Yeah, the Deadites or the demon are playing on Ash, you know, to an extent. Another thing that kind of some of the point I didn't get to talk too much about Halloween, which I think is fantastic and I think deserves to be where it is. One of the great things about Halloween is the way the music is utilized in creating the, you know, so much of Michael Myers is also the Halloween theme or Michael Myers theme. The music in Suspiria is very good, and I would be very excited to talk about it in our score episode. But it doesn't necessarily inspire fear in the same way that, like, John Carpenter's score for, and we can talk into, like, the real details of that, but so much of this, like, I think when it came to, like, scariest for me, it was the overall atmosphere of the film, and there's just elements of this movie that, when put together and when viewed, especially outside of, like, Shannon talked about having kind of the perfect setting for a horror movie to watch it. I watched it in broad daylight, trying to take notes on it, picking it apart. And so that does kill the atmosphere a little bit, just mindset-wise. But even a good movie that is spooky, even when you're trying to watch it academically, can really draw you back into that horror atmosphere, which I think Evil Dead does do a little bit better. There are still some scares in that movie that you watch it and you are, you know, drawn in and then caught by surprise, even on a, you know, third, fourth rewatch. Other than that, those are just some of the elements of why I would put one higher than the other. I mean, Evil Dead ended up at my number two, so I'm going to fight hard for it. But like I said, this is probably the most fluid part of my ranking, whereas my number one and my bottom two are pretty solidly where they are for reasons.
Yeah. All right. And then
yeah.
Either Carter or Shannon, you want to talk about...
Yeah. So where was that?
You want to rebuttal or...
with, I mean...
do both.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't necessarily rebut anything with Suspiria that y'all were saying. I mean, I definitely see where you're coming from with a lot of it. And like I said, I think this really came down to, I just found it more kind of creepy and atmospheric. Or the atmosphere, at least, was creepier to me than it was to y'all.
Yeah.
I agree, it definitely becomes more of kind of a mystery movie, which doesn't disqualify it from being horror. I mean, a lot of horror movies are kind of mystery thriller.
Not that it disqualifies it from being horror, but something that is horror. Straight up horror, like Evil Dead, I think, maybe just by default ends up being a bit spookier.
My biggest problem with Evil Dead is it's almost too campy for me, in that I was laughing for the majority of the movie. I mean, I think the tree rape scene at the beginning is probably the most, like, singular upsetting scene out of any of the movies on the list. But after that...
Yeah, definitely up there.
The Deadites are just, to me, like, so goofy. And the action and the fake blood and all of it's just so much. I was laughing for a pretty generous amount of the movie. Shannon can attest she was there.
Yes, it was a great experience. But it is, like, it's a very, you know, taking aside all of the falling bookcases repeatedly as well, which I was quite entertained by. I really loved the Deadites, you know, just the costume design, the look, every facet of their voice acting, the performance, the way that that movie gives... like new credence and fresh horror to like the cellar basement space that I think I was over intellectualizing that movie. So I was like, wow, I wonder how they achieved this. And I was so interested in the creation of that aspect of the movie that the horror was gone pretty quickly. But yeah, no, it also, the camp is discounting the tree rape scene, which is, you know, singularly
any rape scene probably discounts any amount of camp.
But the rest of the movie though does a great job with camp, which did a lot to kind of take away my own horror. It made the movie accessible on the one hand, but also like I wouldn't call it horror. There's a horror plateau in that movie. It starts, it builds, you get to this isolated location, you're out in the forest, things are spooky. You know, we bring in the Book of the Dead or whatever it's called. Shit starts hitting the fan and heads and blood starts hitting the fan. And it's like, okay, I'm in this horror space. I'm sufficiently frightened. And then it kind of stays constant for me. That was my problem primarily.
Once you have two Deadites, you do end up with a bit of a plateau. And I can agree that you do end up with a bit of a plateau there. But I will say that those moments with those first two possessions by the Deadites are really, you know, are pretty horrifying moments. That first introduction to, like, the demon speaking through Ash's sister as kind of the first victim of anything is a genuinely scary moment. You know, it is campy, and it turns into, you know, people getting stabbed with pencils and bitten at the ankles and stuff. But that initial moment, that levitation and the, you know, that I think that is a really good moment and something that... And then once you have two Deadites, it does, like, yeah, I think it plateaus because it does kind of find a groove, but it doesn't, like, elevate it much till the end, probably. But yeah. a plateau is a good place to put it, or a good word to say for it, I guess. A good phrase.
So what do we think? Where do we stand? What do we want to put in our number three?
What's everyone's number three again? I have Halloween.
Mine's Suspiria.
Halloween, Suspiria.
Mine was Halloween for number three.
The Evil Dead.
Evil Dead, okay. So...
And then I had Evil Dead at two.
Okay. You had Suspiria too. Our rankings are
they're
the same.
They're still the same in there, okay.
What numbers didn't change?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, Carter, we're the ones that kind of don't have the tie.
Uh-huh.
Do you want one of us to break it? Let's break and lean one way or the other.
Well, where'd you have Suspiria?
I had it four, and then you had Evil Dead four.
I have Evil Dead four.
So it's like our choices are the ones that are kind of breaking. Yeah, because they're probably not going to move on theirs because they have theirs at two.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it all, you know, for the sake of the grand scheme of things, both of these movies are staying, and I'm very excited.
Yeah,
for that.
They'll be yeah. safe. It's just a matter of how we break how this we tie.
Want. Yeah.
I was thinking it like this. It's take my formerly living grandmother. Which movie would I show her of the two? I would probably lean more towards Suspiria. And I think maybe because she wouldn't be as freaked out than The Evil Dead. And that's kind of my tiebreaker for these two. If I'm bringing it down to like a very small
Carter's
level.
Straight up about to say the opposite. But I think that's because Suspiria is very alienating. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Suspiria is more digestible. Like, Evil Dead's... It's a particularly, you know, kind of gruesome film. And it's not because it's scary. It's just because it's, like, kind of gross.
Right.
Yeah,
like, I wouldn't show my grandmother that just because she wouldn't like it because it was gross, not because it was scary.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, I agree. I'm just going off of, like... You know, it's hard to break a tie in this.
I can tell yeah. you, my father, who watched The Evil Dead with us, said it was maybe the worst film he's ever seen. So, if really? That's any...
Well...
Just watched it in daylight with your dad?
No, we watched it at night. Yeah,
she just straight up hated
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah. Mm. He did not like it.
Rick's right, got what do some we do? Taste.
Rick did Rick, not like
Rick
The Evil
is
Dead.
Not a fan.
What do we do? How do we break a tie?
But Rick didn't like Celis White, so I'm not...
He thought it was just fine. He's not a big beer drinker. He liked the Waller Creek, though.
Oh, sorry. Welcome to Tapheads.
Tapheads talk. I'm pretty firm that Suspiria is scarier. That Suspiria is scarier than The Evil Dead.
I'm sorry. I'm a child.
And Sam Raimi made Spider-Man, so... I think that disqualifies
okay,
him.
Okay, but Dario Argento made the rest of the Three Mothers trilogy.
And they're scary.
No.
Enough, you haven't seen
But
them.
It's not even the scariest Suspiria, while this is the scariest Evil Dead.
No, because this isn't the 2013 the Evil Dead is probably scarier than...
Oh, yeah.
Damn it. The remakes
are I was just thinking of the
scary.
Sequels. You're right. The remake is scarier.
Both remakes are scarier, yeah. Which is a testament to how campy these movies are.
You know what? I'll fold. Okay. Let's do Suspiria.
I was going to throw in a last minute thing, but that's okay.
Let's make it Fright Night, guys.
Jerry is scary.
Jerry is scary as hell.
I'll fold. I'll put Suspiria because okay. while I do recognize that it keeps a horror vibe throughout, for me, it fluctuates, but I can see maybe how Evil Dead, you could fall off of the horror vibe and maybe yeah. just start laughing and find it funny.
Like,
even though I do think at times Evil Dead is way scarier than Suspiria. It maybe doesn't maintain it the whole time, whereas Suspiria maybe keeps a very low amount of scare, but it keeps it the whole time.
It just has the atmosphere the whole time.
Sure, yeah. I'm already folding, Carter. Don't press your luck.
All right.
My last word on the thing was going to be just that I think that Evil Dead is a very good introduction to campy horror. It's, you know, whereas something like Suspiria is kind of a deep cut for people, for like general audiences, I guess. And in the sense that it turns up that it is a little bit campier. It is a little more of an acquired taste. I think that you know, freshman year film student me quite enjoyed The Evil Dead off the bat, whereas I don't know if I would have, you know, been able to classify Suspiria as true horror at that same. So that's my last word on the subject. Like I said, grand scheme of things, it don't matter. They're both staying.
So Suspiria is number 3 and The Evil Dead is number 4.
Which
let's
means
talk about our number 5.
Well, let's just do a quick rundown for fun
of
number
the movies
one,
making it to the next round.
The movies that are making it to the next round.
See, this is when we should have revealed it was a double elimination.
Yeah, that's probably. Re-record the whole episode. No, Hereditary at number 1, number 2 Halloween, number 3 Suspiria, number 4 The Evil Dead. So unfortunately, these last two films are going home, but let's give our bottom one, the more gruesome house death out of the two. So let's figure out what actually falls at our lowest. So fighting for that last little right to, you know, those last little bragging rights of not quite the worst. I put at number five House. That is where I saw fit for that. I think that there are some really, you know, while there are some very silly elements that probably that do balance the very dark and very horror-filled elements of the movie, I think that those horror elements are very good. Those kills really are very good, and I think I gave a lot of, I think I gave a lot of weight because of how unique those kills are and stuff like that. I think that the premise in general is very scary, but other than that, I think that Fright Night is too campy for me, too 80s, very shagadelic, which are all anti-horror to me, so.
Yeah,
I put Fright Night at 5 and House at 6. Fright Night at 5 mainly because it has
no one turns into bananas.
Yeah, it to me has the most semblance of it's because Fright Night itself is meant to be. It was almost like a proto Scream. It's like a horror satire.
It has it definitely has elements of it.
It's structured as like a comedy, but then it still itself has horror elements in it and is kind of creepy. And so I think it has more horror stuff than House, because House is like.
Is structured as a horror movie.
Structured as a horror movie, but is so absurd and so hilarious that it's like, this isn't even remotely scary. Like, there are things on paper that you're like, this is gnarly, or this is like, this would be terrifying in real life. But it's just so darn goofy in that movie.
It's too much fun, and there's too many people in that movie to, like, you know, there's no isolation until quite the very end. Yeah.
And it's like, it's just not at all, like, not one iota scary the whole time.
I love it.
I am gonna fight you, because I have 5 at House, and I'm not budging at all on that. There's no way in hell. I don't give a shit what you say. There's no way Jerry Dandridge
and Evil Ed
are scary the slightest. I was with Fright Night for the last two, and I'm cutting loose on it. It's not scary. There's nothing scary. I would argue that the twinkling of scariness in House, which is maybe like the pool of water in the center and the climax, and like maybe the house
pianos. The pianos eating people. It doesn't look great, but it is a scary idea.
I would hold those scenes, which are maybe a 1 out of 10 scary, so much higher than the entire movie of Fright Night, because there's nothing scary about Jerry Dandridge.
I think Jerry Dandridge's like weird predatory behavior against what's the girl's
name? I mean, it's canceled.
Kind of scary. It's kind of upsetting to watch when they're like in the club and he's like, bringing her under his spell and then like taking her away, and you're like, this is all very kind of scary to watch.
Yeah, but I think you made a good point that it is satire, and like all of these things are already like tread out vampire tropes. Like they exist for a reason, and like everything that they know, like everything they figure out about vampires is because of vampire movies that have come before. I think that like the point is to satire kind of the genre in general, and I don't think it leads to any like genuinely innovative or particularly scary things, because it does just feel like you're going to, you know exactly what's going to happen at all times. Well, at least there is an element of surprise to House.
And I it certainly gets points on originality, but that doesn't make it scary.
I would also like to say that this is a similar point to our long debated argument about Star Wars not being a sci-fi movie, which I won't bring up for our listeners.
We'll leave that for another
thing. Yeah,
that'll be our 6-part miniseries. Phoenix and I screaming at each other about whether or not Star Wars is sci-fi.
I love my listeners. I don't want to do that to them, so I'm not going to go into it. But just because
you've stuck us having this conversation after we end recording now.
Just because there's vampires in it doesn't make it scary. And I would
I'm not saying feel very... just because they're vampires it makes it scary.
Well, what else is scary about that movie? Nothing.
I just talked about the predatory behaviors. But very that's scary. Vampires.
Yeah, and that's also just... that's just cancellation. That's not like
that's also
scary.
Creepy guys in the 80s.
Yeah, 80s... every 80s
that's
movie...
that's still scary.
Every 80s movie would be scary then.
All right, so here's my thing about Fright Night being scarier than House. Okay... it functions in the same way, horror-wise, as Halloween. I think particularly because it's taking an external element and bringing it into your own home, your own space of refuge that is, like, in some way terrorizing you. So you've got Michael Myers coming as you're slowly trying to close the door into your home where you feel safe, or murdering you and putting a tombstone on you in somebody's master bedroom. Same thing.
Do not compare this to Jerry Danrich.
Same thing with Jerry coming
in
through the window.
Mom's got a date with the vampire. Like, a Disney Channel original
getting
movie.
Getting choked in your own bedroom. And then having to fight for your life by stabbing the other person with a piece of, with a pencil. That, to me, is scarier. While all this is not sustained well throughout the movie, I think that encapsulated moment is much more frightening than any portion of House. House is too pretty, is too fun, makes me enjoy myself way too much to feel any kind of residual fear.
I don't know. I
also, like, Jerry's true form is genuinely terrifying, and nothing in House is as scary as that.
There's nothing scary about his true form either. He's just
like
a campy
monster
vampire.
Mode.
The teeth, scary the like the teeth, deflated the, looking face.
Like, yeah, the skin, like all it's scary.
I would like gasp at someone with a t-shirt of the House poster than I would anything in Fright Night. Just the big orange cat is scarier than anything that's in
the
Fright Night.
It is a scary shirt. I don't like wearing it in public.
Yeah. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to stop the podcast. We're going to watch both movies right now.
God, no.
And we'll
and
make a
we'll
decision.
Compare.
I think...
no.
I'm not moving. I'm 100%. There's nothing scary about Fright Night. I don't... It would have to be Robbie to budge.
I would have to budge, and I'm also very not.
He doesn't like Fright Night. You can't put it up to him.
Well, then we're not.
We already know that.
Just hear his name, Jerry Dandridge.
Yeah, that's why it's funny.
It's not
okay,
scary.
It's funny, not scary.
There's we're just gonna have to end it. We just have to kill them both. Just
I mean, they are both going.
They are both dead.
But we're
we
I don't
have
know
to
rank
them.
Yeah.
I just wanted
just
House to go with a modicum of respect on its name.
Yeah. House,
so
you're scarier
five,
than Fright Night.
I guess.
Tie for five.
House / Fright Night. And Fright Night goes second in the list because it's not as good.
Well,
I agree with
both
that.
Both leaving.
Both are leaving.
Bye.
What
oh,
a
sorry
you.
So sad. Rip. I mean, well.
I'm
wish
sorry
I,
that
I'm
their
sorry
heads got thrown into a well.
I'm.
I think they.
They became watermelons.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm just sad we're not going to talk about House with the score.
Honestly,
makes me sad.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Oh.
Same with
goodbye, House. Fuck you, Fright Night.
It's also just. Look, I was looking earlier. Difficult to find the Evil Dead score. It is all on YouTube though, but not on Spotify.
Oh, good. So I'm just going to have to do a separate Evil Dead listening session?
Yep.
Cool.
And
cool,
that's
cool,
that
cool, cool.
on that.
That's that.
Oh, by the way, next week's episode is Score, if you hadn't figured that out.
Final Four.
Always
Final Score.
Oh.
All right.
This has been a great episode of Film Fracas.
Yeah, let's get to wrapping up. Robbie, do you got anything to plug?
Yeah. If you live in Austin, definitely follow me on Twitter at Robbie DeShazer, because I do comedy in the area pretty frequently, so you can come out and see that. So follow me on Twitter at Robbie DeShazer. Go listen to Tapheads.
At Cold Town.
Yeah. Here, doing a lot
here
of stuff.
In Austin.
Cold Town Theater.
Cold Town Theater.
The historic Cold Town Theater.
Right next to the iHeart Video.
Yes.
Same building.
Yes, quite literally the same building. Cold Town is the basement of the video store. Other than that, listen to Tapheads. We're doing fun stuff. We're recording an episode with Shannon this week, so
that's me.
It's
gonna
be
Shannon. So we'll plug that again once that's out.
Oh yes.
Come listen to me try beer because I'm not a beer person.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to be.
Yeah. And before that, if you want to listen to Carter Tribier, we did his episode a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And our very first episode of the show was a friend of the show, Wendy Lopez. We made her
co-host.
Some, yeah. Well, friend of this show.
Friend of this show, yes.
Friend of this show. Co-host of that show. Heads. Yeah. But I can't. She's not a friend. She's just a friend of this show. She's not here anymore.
Yeah, she's
But yeah, go listen to that. Follow me on Twitter for comedy stuff. And my recommendation this week is 2014's Chef.
Oh, yes. I saw you were watching that the other day.
It's a great movie. I hadn't seen it before.
Jon Favreau?
Yeah, it was. I know, like, everyone was like, there was a lot of tension building up to what I was going to recommend.
I still haven't seen it either.
You haven't seen Chef? I thought you'd seen Chef.
I've heard it's good.
Who has seen Chef?
I've seen it.
Isn't it great?
It's okay.
Isn't it absurd?
I love it. It's the perfect Sunday afternoon movie.
Isn't it great? It's
okay. Nothing against Jon Favreau, but isn't it the movie where he gets both
Scarlett Johansson and Scarlett Johansson?
He doesn't really get
one's Scarlett his ex-wife and one's his girlfriend.
No.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson's not his...
Well, like, his affair, like they were together for a little bit. They were, like, on and off, off and on.
It's implied, but there, nothing actually happens, probably because of the respect between the two of them, like, as actual persons. But, like, there's just a scene where he makes her some pasta.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty
oh,
much...
Oh, yeah.
And it's implied because she's wearing a different shirt than earlier that they probably slept together beforehand.
Yeah.
But,
and it's, again, Jon Favreau.
Who
does
nothing against Jon Favreau.
No, some things against
him. Wow.
Like,
you never
what?
Want him to be on the show?
No, actually, you know what?
He's Jon a very Favreau nice man. Show. Have you watched Chef the Show?
That's what
yeah.
I was
he's just
I was gonna,
spreading love. And
I was going to attach that recommendation as well. If you like cooking shows and pretty shots of food, watch The Chef Show. Yeah,
and The Chef Movie.
Also, because Robert Downey Jr. is in it.
I'll say Chef is a very chill movie. It's one you could just kind of... It's similar. It's like a Food Network movie because you can kind of just watch it and be like, this is enjoyable.
Really?
But that's
I loved John Leguizamo in it. That was like my.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's good in everything.
John Leguizamo's really good in
yeah.
everything.
Yeah. And, side recommendation, go buy the book Movies and Other Things by Shea Serrano.
I also agree.
Yeah, because John Leguizamo did the foreword for that book, and
yes.
Don Cheadle does the afterword.
And Shea Serrano's the greatest human on this earth.
Yeah. Well, I still, yeah, I have a theory.
In the running.
I have a theory that Phoenix is actually Shay, but Shay
from the future.
From the future.
Time traveling back to write a book and talk about movies.
They just have too many of the same opinions. And
Phoenix's opinions are, how do I say this nicely? Weird.
The best.
And so.
Actually.
Yeah. For someone else to share so many of his odd opinions.
Yeah. And Shay gets
like,
lots of love.
Math here isn't adding up.
This week he's been tweeting praise to the Astros, which has made me very
happy. You
need
to ask him if he thinks Star Wars is a sci-fi movie.
I should ask him that. I really love Shay. So
yeah.
What if he differs from you, will you finally see the light?
I'll definitely take a moment of reflection.
Although I still, anytime Shay disagrees with Phoenix, I take it as a...
glitch in the Matrix?
Not a glitch in the Matrix, but a... an intentional misdirection is what I take it as.
It's because he remembers you doing this, and so he's like, "Oh shit! Now I gotta make sure."
Yeah, Phoenix and I have had a lot of conversations about this.
Yeah,
yeah, but those are my plugs and stuff. We took a while on that.
Phoenix.
Yeah. So follow me on Twitter at @bombsphoenix. I tweet things that you'll hopefully like and enjoy,
or
and make you
vehemently
smile,
disagree with,
or vehemently disagree with. My recommendation actually does have some relation to my Twitter, because I'm recommending ABC's hit drama series
2004
to 2010, Lost.
I know what y'all are thinking. Wait, this is a little late.
Yeah, you remember that show Lost, the one that came out in the late 2000s and was like a big hit, and then no one ever talked about it for a long time because there was a weird ending that polarized people. Well, I decided to watch it in 2019.
Which is, to be fair, we watched it at the same time as the 15th anniversary.
Yes. So there was some kind of...
Yeah, we were timing it pretty well.
Yeah. Which, I gotta say, good show.
Yes.
Really enjoy that show a lot. I get why it was a big hit back in the day.
Very ahead of its time.
Ahead of its time.
Phoenix is recommending Heroes.
Just gonna do all those shows that we don't remember anymore.
Save the cheerleader. Save the world.
Lost, great show. Has a lot of good mystery, a lot of great characters in it. It's very long, but I highly recommend going through it. There's some moments in that show that will just leave you like speechless or just so enthralled in the mystery of the island, of the organizations on it. Some creative choices that'll just blow your mind because you think, oh, I know what this show is. This show is about people on an island. And then
it's not about people.
It turns and turns again. And when you think it's done turning, it turns again.
It actually is, in its most basic form, a story about people on an island.
Yes, but no, too. And that's what's great about it. I tweeted a big thread on a lot of my thoughts on Lost.
They are spoilery.
More for people who have seen it. So if you are a fan of Lost, I recommend checking my Twitter and checking my thread out and hearing what I have to say on it. But if you haven't seen it, I really recommend it because
while it's all on Hulu.
I was nervous because there's a lot of talk about the ending, but I have to say it's not bad, and I think it actually probably ages well. There's some things about Lost that don't age well, but I do think the Lost ending and the finale gets a bad rep. It's not that bad, you know, and it's got a lot of good moments to it. And see Lost. Shannon?
Thank you.
What a recommendation. It's not that bad.
Sharon, you gonna watch Lost?
It's not on the top of my list, but I'll make it there eventually. Hello, everyone. You can follow me on Letterboxd at ZedsDead5. I like to write some thoughts about movies that I like or that I don't like, and sometimes they're funny, and sometimes they're just there. But keeps me going.
We haven't done this bit in a while. How do you spell Zed?
Oh, it's Zed with two D's, not
like
with
the
one.
DJ.
Like the DJ, not actual Zed from Pulp Fiction that I was trying to emulate, but Letterboxd won't let you change it. So if anybody is listening who works on development for Letterboxd, you should definitely allow freemium users to do that. But I digress.
I've heard if you tweet at them,
they might say
responsive.
Something. No, they are pretty good. We love you, Letterboxd.
Come back
Thank
next
so
week
much.
With your update on if you could change your name.
If I can change my name. At this point, do I want to? It's part of my brand now.
Yeah, okay. I say stick
Having
with
to
it.
I was going to say, yeah,
you
it is a bit we it. Haven't done in a while, and
That's
I do enjoy
true. It's
pointing
a good
out
one.
That the DJ is dead.
The DJ is dead, and Zed, the sadist, is very much alive. You can also check out my blog, 90 Films Movie Reviews. I'm going to be updating it soon. It's 90films.co. I like to write some more in-depth thoughts about the Best Picture winners, and I'm expanding that to pretty much all movies now just to keep myself writing currently. Let me know what you think. This week I'm going to be recommending The Last Black Man in San Francisco, which is Joe Talbot's directorial debut that was released this year, I believe in July. I cannot say more good things about this movie. It is beautifully shot. It's made with so much heart. It's such a heartbreaking film. It's about gentrification in San Francisco as told by a man who's actually living it. It really makes you want to hug your house, because for people that don't have one or, you know, grew up with one and had it taken away for various institutional reasons, you know, home means a lot of different things to a lot of people. And the actors in this movie are absolutely fantastic. It feels like a theatrical production with a tinge of Wes Anderson, but it's so much more important than that. And it's, it made me want to cry at, 8 a.m. this morning, and that almost never happens. So it's a great movie. It gets you in your feels, and also it's beautifully shot and deserves a lot of love. You can check it out on Amazon Prime. It doesn't come free with Prime, but you can rent it for, I believe, $4.99. So if you're going to spend some money on a movie but don't feel like going to the movie theater for whatever reason, that should be top of your list.
All right. And Carter?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at CA Spillers, like spills on your yard and NNS. I am tweeting more now.
Yes.
I've started Woo! Tweeting more.
Let's go.
Because, Anywho, I'm recommending, I've seen now three movies in the last in
24 hours?
24 hours.
Shout out Alamo Season Pass.
Yeah, shout out. Seriously. Actually, today was the first day because I still have the end of the AMC Stubbs A-list. And so I actually saw a movie at the Alamo and then drove to the AMC next door to the Alamo to watch another movie using that pass.
Is that why you went to Lakeline?
Yeah. Because okay. I saw, which by the way, I do not like that theater, and I'm glad I only ever had to go there once.
Lakeline?
Yeah, the AMC Lakeline.
It's not great. That's where I saw Us.
Yeah,
which was good.
I did not like that theater at all. But yeah, I saw Gemini Man, which was, in my opinion, not good. And Lucy in the Sky, which was from one of my very favorite creative voices right now, Noah Hawley. And it was, I quite enjoyed it. It's not perfect, but I liked it a lot. Natalie Portman gives a pretty good performance. But my recommendation is actually the first movie that I saw in the last 24 hours. It's a movie I saw last night at 10:30 at night. And that is Netflix's and Craig Brewer's Dolomite Is My Name.
Starring
Eddie Murphy.
He's back, baby!
He's back. coming to Netflix October 25th. So in 10 days from this recording. And this will come out, what?
This will come out Friday.
Yeah,
Friday.
So a week or so from on Friday.
It'll come out the 18th, yeah.
Yeah. This is a damn good movie. Oh, my God. It is so entertaining and so just consistently funny. I was having a time in my life. It's really, really good. And Eddie Murphy is phenomenal in it. He's so good, so charismatic. You really feel for him. There have been a lot of like comparisons between this and The Disaster Artist. And regardless of all the behind-the-scenes stuff with The Disaster Artist and you know, James Franco and other people involved, the movie itself, you know, I think Dolomite is better than The Disaster Artist just as a movie on its own. And they are kind of similar, I guess, in that it's, you know, people passionately making their creative projects. But, yeah, Dolomite's just a rip-roaring good time, and it just flies by. It's like 2 hours long, just flies by. And Wesley Snipes also is in it, plays a little supporting role. He's very good. You know, it's like, man, I know he was in prison, but I kind of missed Wesley Snipes in movies.
Yeah.
Is it better than the previous best Eddie Murphy movie, Shrek 2?
Damn.
Is it? Is it better than Shrek 2? It's different from Shrek 2.
Is it?
They have a lot more F-words.
No way.
Oh. I know there were quite a few in Shrek 2. But
Fiona! The F-word is Fiona.
Yeah. But, yeah. Anyway. Dolomite Is My Name on Netflix, October 25th. See if you can in the theater.
All right.
Go watch it.
Awesome. Awesome. This has been a great episode of Film Fracas. You can check out the show on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Film Fracas. You can check out 5208 Media at 5208 Media. And go to our website as well, 5208media.com. Other than that, like I said, this has been a great episode. Tune in again next week. We're going to be doing Score. We're going to be talking about it. And then pretty soon, we're going to be hitting our best picture for this season. Feels good to be back. It feels good to be at this pace again. Other than that, we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Film Fracas. We know there are a lot of shows on the web, and we are so glad you took the time to listen to ours. Thanks to Carter Spilliards, Phoenix Arola, and Shannon Widener for helping to write and produce each episode. Please consider giving us a 5-star rating wherever it is you listen. It really does help get the word out about the show. You can follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Film Fracas. Once again, thanks for listening, and we can't wait for you to hear our next episode.